punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, g'day to all you great stewards of the land. What a wonderful day it is. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. She's chilly out there, 26 degrees. No wind chill, I don't guess. And we got calm wind. Humidity is 45. And we have, I want to check this out, the advisories. There we go. Anyway, we have a winter weather watch in effect for western Oklahoma, and let's see what the radar looks like. I hadn't checked in about 30 minutes. Click over here. Uh-oh, it's getting close. I hadn't looked outside. I don't think it's here. It looks like it's out on the state line. Looks like the snow is on the way. I got a text from Lacey this morning about 6:30. Is it snowing out there? And I looked out there and said, nope. She said, well, you guys are so dry, it won't even snow. She said, it's showing it, but I didn't figure it was hitting the ground. So anyway, yeah, hopefully this ear looks on the radar on the mesonet. It looks like it's coming down pretty good. Oh. It's snowing and rolling Cheyenne, so just got a text in. The text line is open. We got snowing from snowing in Hammond. Man, that didn't take long. I guess I ought to go look outside. It might be snowing here in Elk City, but I just looked 5 minutes ago and it wasn't. Anyway, snow's on the way. Man, we'll take the moisture however we can get it. It's one of those days. Let's get it done. Well, the grain prices and cash prices in Oklahoma as of about an hour ago, wheat took a plunge. Snowing in Sayre, snowing in Grimes and Sweetwater. Thank you, everybody. Keep me updated. If it's snowing in Clinton and it's not snowing in Elk City, I'd like to know that too. So it just means we got bad luck going on here. Not snowing in Retrop, so we got it going. Snowing in Arnett. We got snow coming. Bring it on. Is it heavy? Let me know. All you're saying is it's snowing. I want to know, is it big flakes? Can you count them since the wind ain't blowing and thing, stuff ain't going across you horizontal? But back to wheat, hard red winter wheat. I mean, it took a dive. 775, corn 621. Milo's at 619, soybeans at 1370, cotton's at 122, snowing in Mangum also. Cotton's up a penny a pound from yesterday, and my cotton man shows up today. We're going to talk some cotton today. But wheat reversed course, plunging overnight as investors who were long the market are betting on higher prices, in other words. Sold contracts and booked profits as talk between Russia and the Ukraine began. Futures hit a two-month high yesterday amid rising tensions between the countries and worsening crop conditions in Kansas and Oklahoma. Kansas is the biggest U.S. producer in grain. Oklahoma is right behind them. Officials from the sparring countries will meet in Paris today to calm tensions, even as Russia reportedly adds to the 100,000 troops it already has on the border. This meeting also will be attended from officials from France and Germany. Easing tensions will weigh on prices, and escalation between the countries would likely end up curbing wheat exports. As you guys have reported, Russia and Ukraine are the two biggest wheat exporters in the world. Russia is expected to be the world's largest exporter of the grain, shipping 35 million metric tons in this current marketing year, according to the data from the USDA. Ukraine is forecast to ship 24.2 million tons of wheat this year. Back in the U.S., meanwhile, snow is expected to fall in parts of the southern plains today, easing concerns about this far being a dry, cold winter in parts of southwestern Kansas, Oklahoma, and the Oklahoma and Texas panhandles. So, anyway, it's going to have to be a significant snow to really help us out. Wheat for March delivery fell 11.5 cents to $8.06 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures dropped 9.75 cents to $8.24.75 a bushel. Soybean futures for March delivery rose 3 cents to $14.10 a bushel. Soy meal added 80 cents to $3.92.80 a short ton. And soybean oil futures gained 0.29 cents to 62.8 cents a pound. Corn futures for March delivery fell 1 cent to $6.17.5 a bushel. Well, Brazil likely will see rain in March, boosting the second corn crop in the South American country, while Argentina also will turn wetter in the next couple months, according to the Commodity Weather Group in its seasonal outlook released this week. Wetter March in Brazil adds to corn, but April and May dryness could cause late stress in their corn crop. But the rain and dry weather will have mixed results on South American crops. The dry weather will help with crop collection, but also may lead to problems late in the growing cycle for corn. Expanding dryness during April, May improves Brazil's harvest, but could cause very late stress in the southeast half of the corn. The trim's yields potential, but much less threat than last season. Dryness develops too late for major impacts to the coffee and sugar. Also, I brought up sugar. I seen this morning, for all you guys that are so sweet out there that listens to my show, sugar's 19 cents a pound, just in case you want to buy some to add to your sugarness and your sweetness that you are. In Argentina, dry areas will linger into March, but rainfall is likely in April, which will ease crop stress on double crop soybeans. Some early frost risks are likely, and the harvest may slow in the late rains, according to the Commodity Weather Group. Well, back in the U.S. of A., snow was forecast for much of the Oklahoma and Texas panhandle as weather moves into the area. 1 to 3 inches of snow is likely now as the winter storm blows through the region. A winter weather advisory is in effect till 6 o'clock tonight for the areas I mentioned earlier, western Oklahoma, Texas Panhandle, and Oklahoma Panhandle. Well, further north, the extreme cold weather continues for much of the northern Midwest. In northern Iowa and southern Minnesota, wind chill warnings are in effect, and values are forecast to drop as low as minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit this morning. A wind chill warning is in effect till noon today. Just went out as soon as the show started. But, of course, with anything, when you got them high winds and everything, areas of blowing snow could significantly reduce visibility. Well, there you have it. Everything you want to know. Let's see what is going on here. We have, it looks like dandruff, one guy says, heavy snow in Wheeler. We're getting snow in Shattuck. We're getting snow in Shamrock, Texas also. Between Raiden and Sweetwater, woo, the road's already covered there. A guy sent me a picture. The roads are covered there. Hey, we got something to talk about today, snow. Anyway, there's a little bit of snow falling over by Rotary Park, which is about a mile and a half or two from here. So let's see what Boyette, snowing there. Cool, by Arnett. Anyway, we got some snow coming down. Before I go to break, I got to mention, this is one of my favorite sales I like to go to, the Roger Mills County Cattlemen's Association is putting on the Western Oklahoma All-Breed Bull Sale. And that'll be a week from this coming Saturday, February 5th. FYI, for all you guys that are going to buy me birthday presents, my birthday's February 2nd, Groundhog Day. So in case you want to go ahead and get UPS to ship that stuff to the radio station, I'll be here gladly waiting, and I appreciate anything you guys get me for birthday. I'm kind of looking for a new 20-gauge over and under shotgun. Brownie's my favorite, but, beggars can't be choosier. So anyway, choosy. So 12:15 next Saturday at the Ag Pavilion right there in Cheyenne at the Roger Mills County Ag Pavilion, week from this Saturday, February 5th. I was looking at some of the, I was looking through the catalog a while ago, and there's some pretty good bull consigners in there. Jenkins Angus, Jason Brown, Mullen Angus, 5D Cattle Company, TJ Torrell, Brink Angus, Brookshire Farms, Paul Keith, White Angus Farms, that's Maury White, and Boswell Cattle Company, that's Mark. He's the wannabe club champion over at the Sarah Golf Course. And then Lazy S Ranch, Ackerson Farms, Chris Barton Farms, Beer Cattle Company, Black Hereford Ranch, that's Chris, Mollet Angus, Merle Farms, Round Cattle Company, Newman Ranch, and Blake Holly. So anyway, it's going to be a good sale. Actually, here in the next segment, I'm going to talk about three or four things you can do to prepare to buy new bulls and what you look for, because we got a lot of bull sales coming up. And this is that time of the year. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
My background is in AI service. If you're doing that, you're more progressive. You're not going to the sale barn and buying a bull for the cheapest you can get. You're searching for better genetics. You're searching for a better quality product. Just like, do you go down to the used car store and buy the car with all the dents and dings, or do you want the new car? We decided we'd start building our own pretty vehicles rather than going paying the price for the pretty vehicle. B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Well, I had to get up and go look. We're getting some dandruff here at the studio now, as Daniel said. Anyway, it's good. We got snow. I got 25 ticks in already. I'm glad to hear up there in the Arnett, Shattuck area, the wild and crazy, beautiful Miss Lori Campbell. She texted and said it's snowing around Arnett. And so we got that going on. We got Sayre, we got Grimes, we got Shamrock, we got Wheeler. Before the show's over, hopefully somebody from the Hobart area or out east of here, anybody can report some of that. So that's good. We also got, I got a text in, and I love it when somebody sends me this stuff, especially mainly because it's got to do with FFA and 4-H. So benefiting 4-H and FFA members, the Leedy Calf Fry, my favorite food, and auction is coming up tonight, January 26th, at the Leedy Basketball Gymnasium. Meal will be served at 6 o'clock. With the live auction following, auction will include Leedy local stock show sponsorships, donated items, and metal projects. Proceeds will benefit 4-H and FFA members involved in agriculture programs, including livestock showing, livestock judging, leadership, and agriculture mechanics. So anyway, you guys get a chance, instead of sitting at home, moping about the snow out there, and if you don't have heifers to check like me, you can ease on up the Leedy and go get you some calf fries tonight at 6 o'clock at the gymnasium right there in Leedy. Appreciate you guys sending that to me. I like to know about all that stuff. So anyway, we got to, it's lighting up again. Snowing in Leedy. Nothing in Hobart yet. And we have, it's starting to snow between Reed and Willow. That's where I got to go feed this afternoon. So anyway, appreciate that. Now I know what I got to go up to. Where is my bull deal at? Here we go, right here. Five ways to prepare for bull buying season. As many producers are coming out of the calving season, or like me, right in the middle of it, we need to start preparing for the next phase of the production system. Specifically, we should be preparing for breeding season. Preparing for breeding season includes everything from ensuring our cows are in good enough conditions to continue raising a calf while still rebreeding, to locating new genetics via bulls or semen that we want to incorporate into our herds. Incorporating new bulls into our herds has the potential to make the most change because the bull integrates his genetics into multiple offspring every generation. As soon as we put in some prep work to ensure that we get the proper bulls, we need to improve our cow herds. So evaluate your herd data and initial evaluation of your calf crop. The herd history data is valuable when making bull purchases. This data, if collected correctly, gives the producer an idea from where potential improvements in the cow herd need to be. This can range from traits like cow size, udder structure, feet and legs, and the quality of the calf crop. I'm going to stop right there. I read something on social media last night. I think it was on the Oklahoma cattle page, and there was a question come up in there. The guy says, should I get rid of this heifer, or should I just give her another year because her udder wasn't very big? And there was a lot of good responses in there. I'll kind of just go over a few of them, not exactly word to word what they said. But anyway, one guy come on there and said, just because her udder is small doesn't mean she's putting out bad milk or not enough milk. Heifers are known to have small udders, and they can, you know, as long as the calf's doing good, everything's good. But watch the calf to see if it's hurting it or not. And another person come in there and said, I always give them a second chance, second year. When they have their second calf, if the udder hasn't improved or the quality of the calf hadn't improved, he gets rid of lock, stock, and barrel on that deal. So anyway, I'll continue on. It was a good question on Facebook last night. Additionally, when we buy bulls, our calf crop is already on the ground. This gives us an initial opportunity to evaluate last year's bulls to our soluble products and potential replacements. For example, maybe we want to increase calving ease and perhaps we want a different looking calf. Our herd data and initial evaluation of our calf crop will provide information on the type of bull we are looking for and the trade levels we desire. Second thing is establish trade levels for all your trades you want to improve in your operation. I've discussed it a couple of times on the show, and Jimmy Taylor was been on here, what he's doing, maybe not with the bull part, but with the cattle part. He's doing DNA sampling, and it's not that expensive to do it. I mean, if you guys want to go to the extreme of doing the DNA, and it's a good thing. I've seen it in action. I got to watch what he was doing with it a couple weeks ago at the feedlot by looking at his calf crop, what they were doing, why they were on feed. Do the DNA. Now you know what your cow's potential is. Then you match it up with the right bull. And it's actually simpler than you think. First, producers must establish what genetic potential traits are important to their operation. This can be accomplished by ranking bulls based on their expectancy, potency difference, their EPDs, and performance data for all crucial traits. This allows producers to maintain important traits with still selecting adequate levels of genetic potential of traits that need improved. Couple more here. Evaluate offerings for multiple bull sets, bull sales. Evaluating bulls for multiple sales may provide producers a better opportunity to find the bull or bulls that have characteristics to address any issues or make the desired improvement in their herds. Other words, just because your neighbor's having a bull sale doesn't mean you have to buy a bull from him. Just do your shopping. There's numerous bull sales going on out here, and if you've been having good luck with the bulls you've been buying at that sale, go for it. But just evaluate all your options, because there's lots of, like I said, bull sales going on. Next one, establish your budget and determine what you can pay. Establishing a budget and determining the return on the investment of a bull is crucial before purchasing. Prior to a bull sale, rank your bulls and assign a budget to each bull. Determine the maximum you are willing to pay for each individual and your overall budget to fill your bull battery for the year. Now, some people can be really good at picking bulls, and I'm sure he established a budget, but I still laugh every time Jimmy told me that story when he went up to the Cattlemen's Congress and he said, I picked out my three bulls, and they were the first three to sell, by the way, and the first one brought $175,000. I think that's when he told me he went and got in the truck, come home. So anyway, just establish that budget and stick with it. Just because you pay $10,000 for a bull doesn't mean you're the bad boy on the block that day. But anyway, is that bull going to increase your efficiency in his daughters, or will it significantly increase your weaning weights? Whatever value is assigned to him, make sure he can make that change that has a good return on the investment to justify his purchase price. Last but not least, determine how you're going to get the bull from your sale to your operation. If you're not one of those guys that comes to town pulling a trailer just so you can look like a rancher, sometimes you don't have that trailer with you. But anyway, as previously stated, internet and video sales have provided an excellent opportunity to incorporate bulls we may have never been able to incorporate into our herds. However, this also creates the next step. The process after the sale may be that sale might have been a good ways away. So if you're going to haul your bulls, I've already addressed this issue. If you're buying over the internet, you need to talk with the bull sale operators to make sure arrangements to get the bull from the sale to your operation is feasible. You must also include the transportation cost in your budget to help you stay on track when purchasing. So basically the bottom line of this deal is the process of bull buying can be exciting and provides us an excellent opportunity to incorporate new genetics into our herds. However, a little prep work will help you more accurately select a bull that will improve your herd and match your production goals and resources. So anyway, that was a great article that I was reading. So anyway, I hope you guys like that. And then when we get back, I got Cow-Calf Corner coming up, and we got some stuff on the hog law out there in California. I think it's funny. I mean, how stupid can you be? But anyway, so it's kind of funny. I'm going to talk about the Omicron, and we'll talk a little bit about the high fertilizer prices and some alternate things you can do maybe instead of having to plant crops that take a lot of fertilizer. So anyway, I'll be right back after this. I got some updates from the North Fork of the Red River Conservation District, and we got the Master Irrigator deal going on Monday down at Altus, and I'll give you some information on that in case you haven't signed up. So we'll be right back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January 21st. 597 head were sold. 8 head of steers at 329 brought 216. 4 at 470 brought 204. 8 at 547 brought 180. 13 at 654 brought 153.50. 14 at 681 brought 145. 4 head of heifers at 475 brought 142. 3 at 533 brought 155. 15 at 555 brought 147. 3 at 613 brought 133. 46 at 726 brought 142. Butcher cows were 34 to 83. Butcher bulls 82 to 91. Bred cows 650 to 1160. Pairs brought 1125 to 1350. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm back. Let's see what's happening on the radar. Oh, yeah, radar's lighting up now. I just got a video from Dustin Hogg up northwest of Cheyenne, and man, it's got that covered up there. I'm glad my heifers ain't there right now. But anyway, let's see what the temperature is currently right now. If it'll go on back, there it is, 26 degrees. The wind is calm. So I guess when the wind's calm, there's no wind chill. That makes sense why they didn't show a wind chill a while ago. See, give me at least 20 minutes and my brain will start functioning and I'll get her going. But so you guys heard me a couple weeks ago talking about, I think it was either Connecticut or Massachusetts had enacted a law on welfare log on hogs where they had to have so much square foot. Well, they held off on it. It's in effect, but they did away with it because of the they thought there was going to be a food shortage this year. So they're not enforcing the law. Well, California, you know, their deal went in effect. And a California judge has ruled that Proposition 12 enforcement on the whole pork sales should be halted due to the state's two-year delay in finalizing regulations. The law was supposed to take effect January 1st. And on December 30th, that's when whoever's in charge of the enforcement and the regulations on this deal decided they needed to get some input from the farmers, the hog farmers. And so anyway, in a ruling on January 21st, the Superior Court for Sacramento County granted the petitioners right of mandate to delay the enforcement of Proposition 12 on the sale of whole pork meat. This suit listed the petitioners as the California Hispanic Chambers of Commerce, Cruz and Son Incorporated, California Grocers Association, California Restaurant Association, and the California Retailers Association. The court will issue a declaration that members and members, owners, and operators are not subject to enforcement of the prohibition of sales of whole pork meat in pursuit to this health and safety code, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so Proposition 12 was voted into California law in November of 2018 as an addition to Proposition 2 and part of the Cruelty to Farm Animals Act. Its purpose was to prevent animal cruelty by phasing out extreme methods of farm animal confinement. Under the new addition, there will be multiple restrictions of the amount of space that are meant for an animal to be sold for slaughter or raise eggs. This had to do with chickens, too. Most have an order to be legally sold in the state of California. Now, I'm going to add something to that. They enacted all this stuff, and I think I read where 85% of the pork that is sold in California comes from out of state. So how, my question would be, first thing that popped up to my head, how are they going to enforce in other states, mainly Oklahoma, Kansas, and Texas Panhandle, because that's where some of your biggest hog farms are besides up in Iowa, how are they going to enforce the space that's needed? Are they going to FaceTime an inspector and have a holding the tape measure out there? Because I can't believe a state would have the money or resources to send inspectors out to other states. But anyway, I just, when you put stupid laws into effect, you pay for them. It's just sorry for my French there, but it's just stupid. That's what's happening with our world today. Anyway, also, yesterday at Woodward, back to cattle. Get away from the pigs or I'm back to cattle. The Woodward Livestock Auction had their cow and bull sale yesterday, and I got some numbers in. There was 544 head sold yesterday there at Woodward, Mr. Jerry Nine. Breaker cows were bringing anywhere from 76 to 82, and they were weighing anywhere 1472 to 1705 on the deals. Boner cows weighing anywhere from 1195 to 1337. We're bringing anywhere from 6863 to 7430. And on lean cows, they were weighing anywhere from 1173 to 1272, looks like the heaviest. And they were bringing anywhere from 5777 to 7511. On your bulls, there was a couple big boys in there. 1998 was the average weight on one. It brought $1.01.16. And 1866 weight bull brought $94.40. And it looks like the low end on the bull deal was $77.54. Well, back down here to stock cows. Stock cows, medium and large, 92 range. Bred cows were bringing anywhere from $925 to $1,200. That's the most the younger ones. 2 to 4 year olds were bringing $1,125, and then they had some 5 to 8 year olds who were bringing anywhere from $850 to $1,200, and they had some that was over 8 years old brought $925 a piece. The pairs were selling 5 to 8 year old pairs with 150-pound calves, $1,125 to $1,135, and then on pairs with calves on them, 150 to 300 pounds was bringing up to $1,350, anywhere from $1,000 to $1,350. And then some older cow-calf pairs with larger than 300-pound calves on them were bringing $1,250 to $1,325. And then large to medium and large 1 to 2, 2 to 4 year olds were bringing $1,175 with pairs. And that was actual weight on them. So there you go. Well, when I get back, we got more to talk about. We got all kinds of things to talk about. And it's snowing everywhere. Thank you for your responses. It's snowing. The only one I got is one guy texted in and said it was drier than hail in Foss. So anyway, maybe it's snowing there by now. So we got Lieutenant. Oh, wait a minute. Don't go nowhere. Lieutenant James. Where you at, Lieutenant James? The ground, the roads, everything's covered. He ain't going to tell me because he's probably sneaking up on a poacher or something. So anyway, there you go. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale this Thursday, January the 20th. We're expecting 4,000 cattle. We'll start the auction at 8 a.m. From Collinsville, Texas, 90 steers, numbers 556. Slapout, 120 steers, 6.5. Freedom, 205 steers, 5.5 to 7.5. Long wean. Clargo, 49 steers, 640, by size, 68 steers, 8 to 9, Sayre, 162 mixed cattle, 6 to 7. Allen got 90 steers, 6 to 8, and 70 heifers, 6 to 7. Perriton, 99 steers, 7 to 9. Winoka, 60 steers, 6 to 7. Slapout got 70 heifers at 7. Watonga, 46 steers, 6.5. Laverne, 117 mixed, 6 to 7. Watonga, 49 mixed at 7. Eldorado, Oklahoma, 105 steers at 8. Freedom, 46 steers, 8.5. Leedy, 118 mixed, 7 to 8. And by size, 6. Two steers, 8. Again, we're expecting 4,000 cattle. We will start the auction 8 a.m. sharp. Maybe you ought to pray for rain. Thanks again, Jerry 9 and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot. One connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
If you're listening to my show and you're out doing something illegal or poaching, Lieutenant James takes me back and he said it's classified. If I looked hard enough, I could probably figure out where he's at, but I won't give him away. But anyway, he's out looking for those guys driving around in their trucks, pot shooting quail or shooting coyotes from the road today. I can tell you what he's up to. So you guys just go into the house, leave Lieutenant James alone, and that way you don't have to write any tickets out today. So anyway, the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, 26 degrees currently right now. It is snowing. Looks like snow is, let me back that up a second here. Looks like we have snow in the majority of our listening area now. Hobart, it looks like it's getting ready to move into your area. I'm sure it's moving into Washtenaw County right now. Altus, getting ready to get it. It's coming. It's headed your way. So anyway, we need the moisture. So I'm glad they changed it from the 1 inch to 3 to 4, because that's quarter inch. It'll go a long ways to help out everything, because we got beautiful weather ahead, so it'll just soak in just right. So 60% chance of snow showers today, 27 for a high, low tonight, 20% chance of snow tonight. Tomorrow, 46. Tomorrow night, 21. Friday, warming up, and it's going to be sunny, 51 degrees, and 64 Saturday. Speaking of 64 Saturday, you farmers get all your feeding and stuff done and all your chores done the next 2 days that are playing over there in the Saturday afternoon golf scramble at Sayre. So you can get over there and take your smelly boots off and put your smelly cleats on and go out there and play golf. It's been I was injured last week, had hog shows the 2 weeks before. I might get to attend this week. I'm not sure. I'll be there. But anyway, I'm not kidding you. There's probably 80% of the people that are playing are farmers and ranchers. So it's a great deal just to get out and talk with some people. Sunday, 59 degrees. Well, I had a good text from a gentleman. That's what I want. I won't even say your name, but he has a point on the Bulls, and that's what I want to hear. I want everybody to hear what's out there, what I read and stuff. It might be my opinion or just might be a good article, but here he goes. Bull selection shouldn't just be done just based on EPDs. Bulls females should be evaluated for phenotype and pedigree also. Too many people just select for EPDs and it will end up not making a difference or being worse. For instance, I'm looking for a maternal bull to keep females out of the bull's mother, because a bull will sire his mother. Same goes for CED. Just because a bull is a double digit CED doesn't mean he is a heifer bull. A bunch of times I won't even look at the EPDs unless they are high on accuracy and out of proven genetics. That's just my opinion, and it's a good opinion. That's what I want. That's what this show's about, for everybody to hear everybody's opinions on everything. I don't mean to sound anti-EPD, because I'm not. I do evaluate EPDs, but there's just too many people that select strictly for EPDs. Thank you, sir, for your response. That's what I want. That's what I want to hear, and that's what people need to hear out there. So also, this Saturday in Sayre, finally, Rainey is coming to Sayre, right across the parking lot where the diesel pumps are, at Southbound to the north, just to the north of them. She has a, I used to be a consultant with her in the oil field back in the day when we was doing fracks and completions, and she started a deal 3 or 4 years ago out in Canyon, Texas called Sticks, and she had a restaurant and they had a food truck, and she's just strictly doing the food truck now. But Sticks, STIX, is going to be in Sayre from about 11 o'clock to 7 o'clock Saturday. You guys have to go by there and try this out. And I mean, I love everybody's food around here, but the first time she's been into Oklahoma with her food truck and everything, chicken, the Brazilian steak, the Brazilian chicken, the bacon wrapped chicken, just the sirloin cuts, everything's served on a stick and it's really good. She has some corn that's awesome and everything's served with rice and beans. So I'm just throwing a big ump out there for Saturday on the across the road from North, Northport, Southbound, right there is she's gonna be set up there Saturday. So please go by there and check it out if you would, please. Anyway, also North Fork, Red River Conservation. Oh, it's snowing and retrop now. So we got, thanks, Brad. But on North Fork, Red River Conservation District announces its cost share assistance available. I wanted to re-announce. It's snowing here? All right. I just got it from Weatherman Skinny. It is snowing here. This was released on January 6th, but the North Fork District announced that funds are available now for cost sharing on select conservation practices. The state of Oklahoma has provided limited funds to the conservation district around here to help landowners implement measures that address the resource concerns. Some of those concerns will be brush management, cover crops, grazed waterway and water wells, pumping plant, water facilities, livestock pipeline, forage, and biomass planting. Just go on and on. So get with them over at the NRCS office. That's where the district houses over there. And get them, go talk to them about some cost share. They got pretty good deal. Hey, if it's only 25%, that's 25% not coming out of your pocket. And I just got another text in that it is snowing in Woodward now. So we got almost the whole area covered now. So we're good to go there. All right. Omicrons. Let's do Omicron's effect on food demand and the supply chain. Social media posts are showing empty store shelves. Open Table reports dine-in restaurants' meals are down 22% in late January already compared to the pre-pandemic data. Dr. Michael Swanson, economist at Wells Fargo, says COVID-19 pandemic continues to reshape our food economics. The Omicron wave is bringing its own trends to where the how and the when the food will be consumed, but also where. At the beginning of the pandemic, we saw a major drop at dine-in eating, more home consumption. Then we got away from the home consumption with a very strong, robust restaurant recovery. But it's kind of plagued and softened up just a little bit in the last couple months because of Omicron. Swanson said that grocery stores are showing the above average growth currently, whereas for many years, we're seeing a shift away from spending for at-home eating, but now it's growing two or three more times. I wouldn't be surprised if we put Omicron behind us that we're going to see a good restaurant recovery by summer. But right now, the supermarket is still doing quite well on a historical basis. Swanson said shoppers are seeing higher at store prices and food inflation is tallying in at 6%. Compared to 1% last year, early last year, from year to year. This is not a food inflation spike driven by lack of ingredients. We certainly have great crops in the United States. We owe the farmers, darn right you do, such a debt of gratitude when it comes to their ability to produce. Rather, the increase in prices are coming from food manufacturer and distribution levels. We're still down about 2.5 million people in total employment. So as we see people come back to the labor market in 2022, that's going to help migrate some of those problems we're having with supply chains. It's going to allow factories to run better. It's going to allow packaging prices to come back down. It's going to give a lot of restaurants better staff. So I think the food inflation spike, which has primarily driven by labor, the labor situation, is going to be a little bit self-regulating. Regarding the shortages that are photographed and shared on social media, Swanson says those are spot shortages, not widespread or long-term. That's just like here 4 weeks ago that everybody started posting the empty shelves at Walmart here in Elk City and trying to cause a panic. All it was is their freezers went down. They have to automatically, by law, pull all that meat off the shelf and get rid of it. That's all it was. They weren't out of food, out of meat. They just had to get rid of it. So I don't know what they did with it. But anyway, so there you go. There's your deal on the Omicron, what's going on. All right. This come from down in Georgia, because Georgia is a big peanut state. High fertilizer prices could factor in the peanut acreage topping its 2021 total of 748,000 acres in Georgia. And I know this is Georgia, this is not Oklahoma story, but it pertains to us. Same thing. Industry leaders will like to see acreages decrease this season because crop rotations are essential to peanut production. But that's not likely to happen, as cotton and corn growers may opt out for more peanut acreage to avoid paying for higher input cost. Cotton prices went 90 cents plus per pound last year. It's $1.22 today. We thought, oh yeah, we're going to go back down to normal acres, which would be good for us. It's kind of a reverse of that now. We had the high prices with cotton, but then come behind in all of our inputs, and all of our fertility went up dramatically. Now we're back to the same old, like a couple years ago, where peanuts are the only thing that pencils out. University of Georgia Extension peanut agronomist Scott Mumford, we're now looking at either staying the same with acres or going up. I think we're probably likely going to go up. Cotton and corn production utilizes more nutrients like nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. All have experienced price increases compared to recent years, especially nitrogen. Mr. Glenn Harris, University of Georgia professor and extension agronomist in environmental soil and fertilizer, said during Thursday's Georgia Peanut Farm Show and Conference that nitrogen expenses were about 95 cents per pound, compared to 50 cents per pound in 2020. Phosphorus was around 68 cents per pound compared to 40 cents in 2020. Potassium is 69 cents per pound compared to 34 cents. So it's doubles since 2020. Peanuts are a deep-rooted legume that doesn't require much fertilizer. It could entice growers to shift more acreages to peanut regardless of rotations. Increased acres will impact the prices growers are able to obtain. We had some contract prices in 2021 go to $500 a ton, which is great. That is where what we want to see. But with the intentions of growers saying now, hey, I'm going to plant more peanuts and we're not going to go down. We're going up. Contract prices are going to come back down to the 400s and probably the low $400 range. That's not what we want to see, he says. We've got to do a better job of managing our inputs and what we spend. We can still do very well. We just got to watch that. Georgia producers last year averaged a yield of 4,465 pounds per acre, or 1.6 million tons of peanuts last year. If a grower plants peanuts in the same field over and over, pathogens like moles, fungi, and all kinds of diseases become problematic. So anyway, there's your peanut crop of the day. What else am I missing? I got all that covered. Man, I'm doing good today. Oh, yeah. This is our second day streaming live on KECOFM.com. You can always go there to get my show if you miss part of it, or you want to hear something, or you want to cut out my crap that you don't want to listen about. But anyway, but today, yesterday, we started streaming live on KECOFM.com. We're streaming live on Facebook. We're streaming live on 96.5 KECO, if you hadn't noticed, if you got your radio turned up. But anyway, we got that going on. The boss is headed out. He headed out already. He's going to get tomorrow's hot press release of the new upcoming Penny News. It'll be out in the morning. You guys, we've changed things around on Facebook, or added, not changed, but just added some stuff. You'll see all kinds of good stuff on there with the community calendars and events and the local news with Jared Athan. I'm doing an ag update every morning at 7 o'clock before the early morning show. And I got Skinny on the sports, and he's even good on weather. You heard him come in here a while ago. Hey, it's snowing outside. I mean, that's professional. I mean, how more better professional can you get than just come in here and interrupt my show that it's snowing outside? That's good. Anyway, live radio talk shows. We got the early morning show. We got Exploring Energy. We got Today in Ag Live that you're listening to right now. And then you always got the Penny News Weather Report. So we got all kinds of good stuff going on. One more thing before the show's over. Monitor body condition on your cows and bulls. Needs to be ready for breeding season. Right now is when you need to start thinking, what do I need to do? If she hasn't calved yet, you know, there's not a lot you can do. But as soon as that calf, you got your calves on the ground and you can put some more protein towards them, go for it. And I think I've said this a few times since I started the show. I don't feed much cake. I got alfalfa, and actually I ain't bought some alfalfa, and feeding alfalfa is cheaper than cake. You can roll that bale out. You don't have to roll it all out. Roll half of it out, depending on how many cows or heifers you got in that pasture. Roll it out. Let them all get their share of it. And I think they do better with it rolled out because, you know, a herd of cows, they're like a bunch of girls in junior high school. Middle school now. Sorry, I'm old. Anyway, middle school. Always trying to cause trouble with each other and punching each other and just fighting out there all the time. And they keep some of the cows away from eating. So I roll my alfalfa out most of the time and give them a little protein. It's got just as much protein, if not more, than what a sack of 20% cattle cubes are. But just keep them in good shape. And at the time of this writing, we continue to enjoy a mild, dry winter in Oklahoma. I don't know if we're enjoying it. I mean, yes, the weather's nice, but man, we need the moisture. This has been a blessing from the standpoint of winter feed bills to this point. The mild weather also creates a good opportunity to put some flesh on the breeding herd prior to calving and breeding season, if needed. Optimum body condition scores on bred heifers going into the calving season is a 6. For mature cows, a 5.5. This is important for a strong relationship with the BCS at calving and reproductive success 90 days after calving. Well, hope you guys enjoy it. And sorry I didn't get all the text lines answered. There was some more on there. But anyway, you guys have a great day. Get the snow sleds out. I'm going to go check heifers. Go check, feed some cows. You guys enjoy it. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. God bless.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is KECO Elk City.